Welcome to Immunology Insights. I'm Dr. Victor Roberts, your moderator for today's episode of the Immunology Roundtable. Today, we're diving into the fascinating history of immunity, exploring how our understanding has evolved from ancient practices to modern science.
Absolutely, Victor. It's incredible to think about how far we've come. From the early days of variolation in ancient China to Edward Jenner's groundbreaking work with vaccination, the journey of immunology is a testament to human curiosity and resilience against disease.
And let's not forget the pivotal role that these early practices played in shaping our current understanding of the immune system. Each discovery laid the groundwork for the next, creating a rich tapestry of knowledge that informs our clinical practices today.
Exactly, Olivia. We'll be discussing key milestones in immunology, including the contributions of pioneers like Louis Pasteur and Robert Koch. Their work not only advanced our understanding of infectious diseases, but also established the foundation for vaccine development, which has saved countless lives.
And I can't wait to share some quirky facts about the pathogens involved in these discoveries. It's like a microbial drama unfolding through history.
Right. We'll also explore how the conceptual shift from humoral to cellular immunity transformed our approach to understanding immune responses. It's all connected, and each segment will build on the last.
So, whether you're a student, a healthcare professional, or just curious about how the immune system works, you're in the right place. Let's follow the cascade of immunological history together.
Let's get started.
Onward to the first segment.
In this segment, we'll delve into the key components of the immune system. Understanding these players is essential for grasping how our bodies defend against pathogens.
Absolutely, Victor. Let's start with the innate immune system, which is our body's first line of defense. It includes physical barriers like the skin and mucous membranes, as well as cells like macrophages and neutrophils that respond quickly to invaders.
Right, Caitlin. The innate immune response is nonspecific and acts immediately upon infection. For example, when a pathogen breaches the skin, these innate cells are the first responders, recognizing common features of pathogens through pattern recognition receptors.
And don't forget about the complement system. It's a group of proteins that enhance the ability of antibodies and phagocytic cells to clear pathogens. It acts as a bridge between innate and adaptive immunity. Let's break that down a bit more.
Sure. The complement system can be activated in several ways, leading to a cascade of events that help opsonize pathogens, making them easier for phagocytes to engulf. It can also form the membrane attack complex, which creates pores in pathogen membranes, leading to their destruction.
Now, shifting gears to the adaptive immune system, which is more specialized and takes longer to activate. It includes T cells and B cells. T cells are crucial for cell-mediated immunity, while B cells are responsible for producing antibodies.
Exactly. The adaptive system has memory, which allows for a faster and more robust response upon re-exposure to the same pathogen. This is what vaccines aim to harness, training the immune system to recognize specific pathogens without causing disease.
And let's not overlook the role of antigen-presenting cells, like dendritic cells, which help bridge the innate and adaptive responses. They capture antigens and present them to T cells, kickstarting the adaptive immune response.
It's fascinating how these components work together. Each cell type and molecule has a specific role, and their interactions create a complex network that protects us from disease.
Indeed, it's like a well-orchestrated symphony, where each player contributes to the overall defense mechanism. Understanding these components is crucial for anyone interested in immunology, as they form the foundation for our immune responses.
And there's always more to discover. The immune system is a dynamic and evolving field, with new players and mechanisms being identified all the time.
Well said, Caitlin. This overview sets the stage for our next segment, where we'll explore how these immune components activate and respond to threats. Let's keep the momentum going.
In this segment, we'll explore how the immune system activates in response to pathogens. It all begins with the recognition of antigens, which are specific molecules found on the surface of pathogens. These can be proteins, carbohydrates, or even nucleic acids.
Right. The first step in immune activation is the recognition of these antigens by immune cells. For instance, dendritic cells are key players here. They capture antigens through processes like phagocytosis and then migrate to lymph nodes to present these antigens to T cells.
Exactly, Caitlin. This antigen presentation is crucial. Dendritic cells express major histocompatibility complex, MHC molecules on their surface, which display the processed antigens to T cells. There are two classes of MHC molecules: MHC class I, which presents to CD8 plus cytotoxic T cells, and MHC class II, which presents to CD4 plus helper T cells.
And this is where the specificity of the immune response comes into play. When a T cell recognizes its specific antigen MHC complex through its T cell receptor, it undergoes activation, which involves a series of signaling cascades. This leads to T cell proliferation and differentiation into effector cells.
Let's not forget about the role of co-stimulatory signals. For full activation, T cells require a second signal from co-stimulatory molecules like CD28 binding to B7 on the antigen-presenting cell. Without this second signal, T cells may become anergic or unresponsive.
That's a critical point, Caitlin. Once activated, CD4 plus T helper cells can further assist in the immune response by producing cytokines that help activate B cells and cytotoxic T cells. B cells, upon activation, can differentiate into plasma cells that produce antibodies specific to the recognized antigen.
And antibodies play a vital role in neutralizing pathogens and marking them for destruction. They can opsonize pathogens, making them more recognizable to phagocytes, or activate the complement system, leading to pathogen lysis.
It's a beautifully orchestrated process, and what's fascinating is how memory cells form after the initial response. These memory T and B cells persist long-term, allowing for a faster and more robust response upon re-exposure to the same antigen. That's the principle behind vaccination.
Absolutely. Vaccines leverage this memory response to prepare the immune system for future encounters with pathogens, providing immunity without causing disease. It's a brilliant application of our understanding of immune activation.
As we can see, the mechanisms of immune activation are intricate and involve multiple cell types and signaling pathways. This foundational knowledge is essential as we move forward to discuss how the immune system coordinates and regulates these responses in the next segment. Now that we've discussed how the immune system activates, let's explore how it coordinates and regulates these responses. The immune system is not just a collection of cells. It's a highly dynamic network that communicates and adjusts to maintain balance.
Exactly, Victor. Coordination is crucial, especially since the immune response can be quite aggressive. We have various signaling molecules, primarily cytokines, that act as messengers between immune cells. They help direct the immune response and ensure that cells are activated at the right time and place.
Cytokines can be pro-inflammatory, like interleukin-6 and tumor necrosis factor alpha, or anti-inflammatory, such as interleukin-10. This balance is essential to prevent excessive inflammation, which can lead to tissue damage.
And this is where regulatory T cells come into play. They help maintain tolerance and prevent autoimmunity by suppressing overactive immune responses. They act like the brakes on the immune system, ensuring that once a threat is eliminated, the response is dialed back.
That's a great point. It's like a finely tuned orchestra where every musician must play their part at the right moment. If one section plays too loudly or too softly, it can throw the whole performance off balance.
Additionally, feedback mechanisms are vital. For instance, once an infection is cleared, anti-inflammatory cytokines are released to signal immune cells to reduce their activity. This feedback loop helps return the immune system to its resting state, preventing chronic inflammation.
Another fascinating aspect of immune coordination is the role of the lymphatic system. It serves as a highway for immune cells to travel throughout the body, facilitating communication and response to pathogens.
And let's not forget about the importance of the microbiome. It plays a significant role in shaping immune responses and maintaining homeostasis. The gut microbiota, for example, can influence the development and function of immune cells.
Absolutely. The interactions between the immune system and the microbiome are a burgeoning area of research, revealing how our environment and lifestyle can impact immune health.
In summary, the coordination and regulation of the immune system are essential for effective responses to pathogens, while preventing damage to the host. This intricate dance of signals and feedback ensures that our immune system functions optimally.
And as we continue our exploration, we'll see how disruptions in this coordination can lead to immune dysfunction, which we'll discuss in the next segment.
In this segment, we're going to discuss immune dysfunction patterns, which can manifest in various ways when the immune system fails to operate correctly. There are three primary categories of dysfunction: immunodeficiency, hypersensitivity, and autoimmunity.
Let's start with immunodeficiency. This occurs when the immune system is unable to respond adequately to infections. It can be primary due to genetic defects like severe combined immunodeficiency, SCID, or secondary, resulting from external factors like HIV infection or malnutrition.
That's right, Caitlin. In cases of immunodeficiency, even common infections can become life-threatening. Patients may experience recurrent infections that are difficult to treat, highlighting the critical role of a functioning immune system in maintaining health.
Next, we have hypersensitivity reactions, which are exaggerated immune responses to harmless substances such as pollen or certain foods. These can be classified into four types. Type 1, immediate hypersensitivity. Type 2, cytotoxic reactions. Type 3, immune complex mediated. And type 4, delayed type hypersensitivity.
Type I reactions like allergies are particularly common. They involve IgE antibodies and can lead to symptoms ranging from mild hay fever to severe anaphylaxis. It's fascinating how the immune system can misidentify harmless substances as threats.
And then there's autoimmunity, where the immune system mistakenly attacks the body's own tissues. Conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and multiple sclerosis are examples of autoimmune diseases. The mechanisms can be complex, involving genetic, environmental, and hormonal factors.
Autoimmunity represents a failure of self-tolerance, where the immune system no longer distinguishes between self and non-self. This can lead to chronic inflammation and tissue damage, significantly impacting a patient's quality of life.
It's like a plot twist in the immune narrative. The very system designed to protect us can turn against us, leading to a variety of symptoms depending on which tissues are affected.
Understanding these dysfunction patterns is essential for developing targeted therapies. For instance, immunodeficiencies may be treated with immunoglobulin replacement therapy, while autoimmune diseases often require immunosuppressive medications to reduce inflammation and tissue damage.
In summary, immune dysfunction can take many forms, each with its unique challenges. Recognizing these patterns is crucial for diagnosis and treatment, as we'll explore in our next segment on diagnostic tools in immunology. In this segment, we'll explore the diagnostic tools used in immunology to assess immune function. Understanding these tools is essential for diagnosing immune-related conditions and monitoring patient health.
Absolutely, Victor. One of the most common tests is the complete blood count, or CBC, which provides information about the number and types of cells in the blood, including white blood cells that are crucial for immune responses.
And within the CBC, we can look specifically at lymphocyte counts. An increase or decrease in these cells can indicate various conditions, such as infections or immune deficiencies. For example, a low lymphocyte count might suggest an immunodeficiency disorder.
Another vital tool is the measurement of antibody titers. This test assesses the presence and concentration of antibodies in the blood, providing insight into a person's immune status and history of exposure to specific pathogens or vaccines.
Right. For instance, if someone has a low titer for a vaccine-preventable disease, it may indicate the need for a booster shot. It's like checking the battery level on your device. If it's low, you know it's time to recharge.
We also have specialized tests like flow cytometry, which allows us to analyze the physical and chemical characteristics of immune cells. This technique can identify specific cell populations and their activation status, which is crucial for diagnosing conditions like leukemias and lymphomas.
And let's not forget about cytokine profiling. Measuring cytokines in the blood can provide insights into the inflammatory status of a patient. Elevated levels of certain cytokines can indicate chronic inflammation or autoimmune conditions.
Exactly. It's like having a dashboard that shows you the immune system's activity levels. If certain cytokines are off the charts, it can guide us towards specific diagnoses or treatment strategies.
Additionally, we have immunologic panels that assess multiple aspects of immune function, including complement levels and specific antibody responses. These panels can help diagnose conditions like autoimmune diseases and immunodeficiencies.
In summary, the diagnostic tools in immunology are diverse and essential for understanding the immune system's function. They help clinicians make informed decisions about patient care, guiding treatment options and monitoring disease progression.
And as we move into our next segment, we'll discuss the therapeutic implications of these diagnostic insights and how they inform treatment strategies for various immune-related conditions.
In this segment, we're going to discuss the therapeutic implications of our understanding of the immune system. With the insights gained from immunology, we can develop strategies to enhance, suppress, or modulate immune responses for clinical use.
Absolutely, Victor. One of the most significant advancements has been in the development of vaccines. Vaccines leverage the immune system's ability to remember pathogens, providing long-term protection without causing disease. This is a cornerstone of public health.
And vaccines have evolved significantly over the years. We've moved from traditional live attenuated and inactivated vaccines to more sophisticated approaches, such as mRNA vaccines, which instruct cells to produce a harmless piece of the pathogen to stimulate an immune response.
Exactly. The mRNA vaccines developed for COVID-19 are a prime example of how rapidly we can adapt our understanding of immunology to create effective therapies. They not only provide protection, but also demonstrate the potential for rapid vaccine development in response to emerging pathogens.
And let's talk about immunotherapy. This approach harnesses the body's immune system to fight diseases like cancer. For example, immune checkpoint inhibitors can block proteins that prevent T cells from attacking cancer cells, effectively unleashing the immune response against tumors.
That's a game changer in oncology. Additionally, CAR T-cell therapy involves modifying a patient's T-cells to better recognize and attack cancer cells. This personalized approach has shown remarkable success in certain types of leukemia and lymphoma.
Moreover, we must consider therapies for autoimmune conditions, where the immune system is overactive. Immunosuppressive drugs, like corticosteroids and biologics, can help reduce inflammation and prevent tissue damage. However, they must be used cautiously to avoid increasing the risk of infections.
It's like walking a tightrope, balancing the need to control autoimmunity while maintaining enough immune function to protect against pathogens.
And emerging therapies, such as monoclonal antibodies, target specific components of the immune system, allowing for more precise modulation of immune responses. This precision medicine approach is paving the way for tailored treatments based on individual patient profiles.
In summary, the therapeutic implications of immunology are vast and continually evolving. From vaccines to immunotherapies, our understanding of the immune system is transforming how we approach disease management and treatment.
And as we wrap up this segment, it's exciting to think about what the future holds for immunotherapy and how it will shape the next generation of treatments.
As we wrap up today's episode, Let's summarize what we've discussed about the immune system and its clinical relevance. We started with an overview of the immune components, including the key cells and molecules that play critical roles in our defenses against pathogens.
Then, we dove into the mechanisms of immune activation, exploring how our bodies recognize and respond to threats. It's fascinating to see how complex and coordinated these processes are.
We also discussed the importance of coordination and regulation within the immune system, highlighting how communication between cells ensures a balanced response to infections while preventing damage to our own tissues.
Following that, we explored patterns of immune dysfunction, including immunodeficiency, hypersensitivity, and autoimmunity. Understanding these dysfunctions is crucial for diagnosing and treating various conditions.
And we looked at the diagnostic tools available in immunology, such as antibody titers and flow cytometry, which help clinicians assess immune function and tailor treatments to individual patients.
Finally, we discussed the therapeutic implications of our understanding of the immune system, from vaccines to immunotherapies, and how these advancements are shaping the future of medicine.
Each of these segments contributes to a deeper understanding of the immune system's role in health and disease. As we continue to learn more, the potential for innovative therapies and improved patient outcomes grows.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time in the field of immunology, and we encourage our listeners to stay curious and engaged with the latest research and developments.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the immune system. We hope you found today's discussion informative and inspiring.
Join us next time on Immunology Insights as we delve into another fascinating topic related to the immune system. Until then, remember, from crude pustules to checkpoint precision, immunology is the story of learning how to listen to the body's signals, and now, how to shape them.